The National Council of Jewish Women is sponsoring it, and they're trying to get a history of the Jewish people's history. Can you tell me about your home in Europe, where you live?
Yeah, we live in a small town in York, in Ukraine. Latvian.
Is this in a city or a country?
It's a small town. We call it, I would say it's a third class town.
Did you live in a house there?
Oh, sure. Well, it was a wooden house. It was not rich there.
And tell me about your family that lives in the house.
Well, my family, there's a family, I believe, of 7 or 8 children.
How many brothers?
There are, I believe, 6 brothers.
And
were
the brothers all family or older than
you? I'm the oldest.
And are they still alive now?
Well, 2 are in Israel. There are 3 born back to back. Two in Israel, I believe, were born, or 2 are in Russia, probably.
And what about your sister?
Well, she was a sister, she passed away in Israel.
And how long did you live in
Israel? Well, until early youth.
Do you know how old you were then? And what kind of work did you do?
There I studied, went to pay there as usual, and then I helped my father with his third wife. So.
And what language did you speak?
Well, in our home we spoke Yiddish, but my literary language was Russian. I couldn't read any Yiddish until I came to this country. Well, not spoken. Spoken Russian and Hebrew studied. Hebrew, you know, Hebrew can do this and all that stuff.
And you went to Cheddar. Did you go to any other type of school?
Well, there was no other school there. Well, non-Jewish people, we had a driver store in the marketplace. And this is the only relationship we had between two purchasers. Good relationship. Very good.
Did you belong to a political organization?
No. We were too young in those days.
What about your parents?
My parents were also the same day. In those days, in the Zionist regime, unless you was a real revolutionary, in a sense, I remember father came home from the store. I was still a youngster. toen het alleen van mij in ieder geval vader brood, de proclamatie, nu wordt de proclamatie niet de proclamation van de paper, en talking about against the Soviet, right of power reform in the brain. Do you want to be implicated with the national issue? So that's after, you know, the afraid. The national Jewish asked to know you were, what shall I call, sympathetic to the plight of minorities, you know, that God was not afraid to be implicated.
And so your relationship to the government, how
was it affair? Not affair at all. What do you mean by affair? I had no affair whatsoever.
What was your relationship to the government? What was your relationship with the government to the Jews?
Well, in that small town, there was no such thing as a relationship to the Jews. See, the Jewish people, the relationship with the government and the Jewish people in Russia naturally was bad. The reason they had a 2% you know, normal for college things. Most of the Jewish students of college had to go out of the country, like Germany, Switzerland, and all that stuff. But in a small town, I remember some young men, students, had to go out of the country. But I was still a youth. I did not know, nationals. If I would have stayed there, I probably would have done the same thing.
What did you think of America?
At this time, mm-hmm. I thought it was huge. God bless America. I wish all the Jews were in America. So that's the Jews that have to think about it. God bless America, that's all it is.
No, I mean at the time you were living in Russia.
Well, I tell you, while we were living in Russia, nationally, in America was the island for the Jewish people. What does it mean, heaven? See, in Russia, we were afraid to say a word against the government. We were told you before the door that's called sympathetic to the plight of the minorities. We were afraid to say a word that there were spies. And you were afraid of the shadow. And you knew America is a free country. And that's all it is. It's a free country. So even there was a rumor to say even the Duke could become a president. Maybe the man was president of the synagogue or something, but was become a president. See, not that alone was gave the impetus or fantasy to the Jewish dream to be in America for the country of the free.
And why did you leave the country in which you were born?
Why I left the country? Because I knew that the time slides. Life quick, and I would have to be serve the government to the soldier. And I knew after a certain age I could still get a passport. If you want to leave legally, if you want to steal, you know, go.
And why did you come to the United States?
Why? That's why I came to the United States, but because I haven't. There's a dream of every Jew in America or in Europe to come to America. Because you don't know it. You were born here.
Yep.
You were born here.
Did you have a definite destination?
Well, destination Pittsburgh.
And why Pittsburgh?
I had an uncle there, my mother brought it there. He sent them. What I mean, he sent me, a visa. And my parents naturally supplied the funds.
Did you travel as part of the group?
No, from this side. No group.
And how did you travel?
I took a train to Bremen, and from there we took the boat.
And who met you?
My uncle, in Pittsburgh.
Who met you with in New York?
In New York, nobody did.
No organization?
No organization whatsoever. I remember, it's a long day already. Several ships came to shore. And they didn't, find for all of them to be examined in New York, so that Lee was transferred us to Philadelphia. And from there I took a train to Pittsburgh and a Yonker, Langston, you know what the Langston means?
No.
They met, not a relative, no, they come from the same camp.
No.
They met me at the B&O station. That was in the B&O station. I remember yet, I wanted to take the taxi and coach, you know, also. Mm-hmm. And they came and they took me on a street car. And they lived, the young people lived there fine in Texas. Remember Texas Street here?
Yeah.
You know what that 7 years? Bedford Avenue?
Yeah.
Well, it was like, between by Roberts Street. And where Roberts Street is, around there, Texas Street. And I remember, I used to go to town, and a lot of signs that was stuck in a streetcar. There on the corner out was a white stone dog. And I knew that the public about what I saw by the dog. You know these memories, you see?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, let's see. Did you bring any
articles
or papers or anything with you,
please? No, I brought my learnings and my math.
Is your name the same as it was in New York?
Well, Israel, yes.
No,
Michalowski,
Michalowski. How did you
say it? M-I-C-H-A-L-S-A-Y.
And why did you say
it? Well, shortness. You're the one.
Did And what first impressed you when you came to
the
United States?
What?
What first impressed you?
That's the other thing. What is that thing said? We build tall buildings, escalators, elevators, which you need to see in our country.
And what first impressed you when you were
back to the investment. Of course, they impressed me in other things. They're the same people I knew from our country. To go after that, for me it became so free. Free of everything. Religion. They kept up a little, but not as bad as before. You know, as strict as before. For instance, in our country, men wouldn't eat or drink without a hat or smoke a cigarette on a Sabbath. And me, they liberalized themselves to do all. The mental of the religious behavior. You know what I mean?
Do you remember the first day you came to Pittsburgh and met your uncle?
Yes, I came from the Pittsburgh, which was in the eve of Shavuot. What I remember about it, what is it I remember? I took me to the synagogue in Shavuot, and I read a chazan, and that's what about. And then it impressed me the black people. It impressed me also the electric light of day. And I remember I got my father that according to the Talmudic version, that the candle light was not light, was not enough for the daytime. That's the Talmudic version. And here in Pittsburgh, they say there is light even at daytime. That's what it's called. The tall buildings are tall. That's what I remember, the, you know, those memories.
Was there anything about life in the United States that disappointed you during the first 5 years here?
I'm not going to disappoint you, really don't be long in it. That's the only thing. Yeah. For instance, you felt long in it mostly and all of it. You stick together with the family, father and mother, daughter, and sister. You felt what you call college. The year was nothing.
And was there any point in the first 5 years when you thought I'm going to be treated because you were in prison?
Well, I'm just treated not because I'm an immigrant, but because I stayed, I wouldn't people naturally, and the woman, the landlady, she looked at you as a stepchild, or a back of the third degree stepchild. And for instance, when she got roles for actors, or she got roles, less roles for her children, and for the woman, for the daughter, she got the second or third, you know, 1 or 2 day old, and she got a penny cheaper. And those roles of those days were a penny a role. You understand? These things, you know what I mean? Impression. You remember it naturally. Well, it's places, all of this. Listen, I'm not the first immigrant to say, if you go among them, then you know what it is. See? Those are the memories. In those days, I was a panic. And she bought a day old trash of them. That's all. You see these things, in a sense. I remember, for instance, the change. That doesn't make any difference. So I remember this thing a long time. I stayed in my room to myself. And I went out. I don't remember where, for a show or for an invitation. I came back. The vendor picked himself up in the chair and wouldn't let him up in my room. Said, what's the matter? Oh, you can't go to sleep just. What do you mean? I didn't pay the rent. The children came from some other camp and he gave them my room to sleep.
Oh, so what did you do?
I slept on a chair and I moved out the next day. But this law that these are things, see the point? So that's what has happened. Yeah. Naturally, that made me happy in the first place. So that's the goal. And I was only sorry I didn't have my family with me.
And your first home was in the town, was that the boarding house?
Well, I stayed with my uncle for a couple of weeks. And then I stayed with us in that place, not a boarding house. I'll tell you what it's like. That monkey of mine, he stayed with his sister-in-law, his wife's sister. They sat in Israel, we came to America, we came from the same town, let's stay in the same house. So that's what it's like. See the paper next to it? No. The gentleman, I didn't live it.
How long did you live there? A couple of years. And what kind of work did you do?
Other farming.
And how did you get trained?
Not training. You didn't have to go to college.
And
well, I'll tell you, those days, you made $1 a day, you know what I mean? $6-$7 a week.
Sure.
I was no ask to see when you work for yourself, you have no ask at all. You could leave early, you can leave late, for those make a difference. Especially if you don't have any relations, just yourself.
Did you work on Saturdays and do Saturdays?
No. At the beginning, I didn't get to do Saturdays. Later on, of course. Well, I'm still doing it. I'm in a credit business now. I tell you a bit mentioned that a man of their mind me. How they looked at me. I remember Houston, my Houston first started a place. It had the salt rooms. My uncle was selling rooms. And they knew me as a European boy, and a few of that man. And they liked me, I believe, or what. And on Rosh Hashanah, which I used to go to synagogue in Kippur, there was a corner, you know Pittsburgh a little, corner Arthur and Center. You know where it is?
Mm-hmm.
Arthur Street and Center Avenue. It used to be a drugstore. I forgot the name of the drugstore. The drugs. And they had Jewish papers. I used to buy my baby paper there. But when Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, no, they were open, the drugstore was open. And I went into the drugstore on Yom Kippur to pick up a newspaper. Of course, I didn't pay for the new meat that I was paying the 50 pennies a day later. And I didn't notice who was sitting there. So the girl of that Spider-Man ate ice cream Sunday on Yom Kippur. So somebody told her parents that she ate ice cream, but she says, why shouldn't I? I saw Israel there at the store. So passed through there, so he called me in. Mary, well, it's money. So I went in there. What are you doing in Yom Kippur? In the Paul's drugstore, that's what it's called. What are you doing in Yom Kippur in the drugstore? Well, you know what I was doing. And she forgot my paper. That's all, you didn't eat no ice cream. So, of course not. So that's what I say, the storage mother looked at me, you know what I mean, I say, pies and clothes, but of course I was there, she allowed herself to eat ice cream, so that's what I did. Is this a mystery, eh?
Did you
call me
any kind of
trade union? Yes, no trade union, because I had no trade union.
And your life work, what became your life work?
Right. They have a son, Dr. Milton Michael, and three grandchildren, that's it. That is all a life work.
As far as you trade, you still you mentioned things like
that. Yes, I'm not part of it.
And if you could do this part of your life over, what kind of work would you get into?
Oh, that's different. That's something different. If I would be to live my life over again, still in the course of time, I'd try something different. I tried to go on the ocean, I did not succeed because I didn't have no financial backing, which is the reason, you know, in the ocean, for any business. So, then I consider this business as good as any, if you do it in the right way, and if you live accordingly, and then you have a good life. And she stood beside me. She didn't say, I want this and I want that. She considered it, and want for each other, that's what I understand. And that's what we succeeded in making my son what he is today. Without her life, I wouldn't be able to do anything.
What school did you
have? Law school. I had a couple of nice schools. Christmas school, remember the Christmas? And then for a year about a thing. A couple of nice high schools.
And that's, did you learn to
speak English? Well, how could you learn to speak English in a couple of hours?
How did you learn to speak
English? History, from reading. Mostly reading.
And writing?
Same thing. And I read it today when I read, I digest every word.
When you went to that school, how did you jump out classes?
There was no such thing as jump out classes. We all were immigrants. All of us were immigrants.
And you didn't go to Haida here?
No. After I got to Haida here, then I had to support myself. too many every time from children. Too many.
Did you like music? Did you play music? Yeah, I don't play music. Did you go to concerts or opera? Oh, yeah, those days too. Did you go to Yiddish theater or any other theater? Yiddish theater I used to go to New York. To New York, never missed. Was that in the first 5 years you were here or later? Later. And did you attend any lectures?
In the places that used to be in those days, the Minor Chain or the synagogue, and I played with those lectures. It was attaining Jewish life and the pop culture and all that.
Did you go to the public library?
Oh, yeah. Mark's library used to go to Vine Avenue Library.
Yeah, and you mentioned
a
newspaper. What
picture is that? I like to be simple dispatch. You remember it, you don't remember it. Or the back paper goes there. Look at it.
When you came to the United States, did you think of yourself as a religious person?
Well, speaking of myself, I think I have brought back with me the baggage of the all country baggage, which is all so often.
In what
place? I lived in a Jewish home. I mean, with the Jewish people. So, a Jewish means I was very Sabbath and holidays, didn't go to work. So, but I tell you, the main thing to do was to treat people to husband, not to mistreat them. See, there is a version. Anything you don't like to be done to you, don't do it. This is the golden rule, which is abide by it, even today. For instance, I said I'm not a good person, I want him to ever use that. He even does those things. And when you find you that the merchandise is even very good, I didn't. That's exactly my golden rule, and I abide by those days and even today. I believe this is the right way.
So, did you change any of your religious practices during your first 5 years here?
No, but later on I did.
Okay.
Well, it's not working on Sabbath. Of course, I didn't meet my places, no. I didn't meet my places yet. But on the Sabbath and all the days I was. Because from London.
Did you attend a synagogue here in Pittsburgh?
Oh, yes, sure.
Where?
It's on, it's called the Rosh Yeshua, on the Middle. Deep Center.
Did you go
to that? Yes, sir. It was a reform, the only reform temple was the other three of them, I believe.
And how frequently did you attend?
Seven times.
And did you carry on any observances in your home?
I didn't. I had no home. I was single. I had no home. I came home to you at a room. On the second or third floor.
Could you experience any change in health due to requirement of the food or anything
like that? Well, I think this was a minor thing. See, the main thing was loneliness, you know, missing the family. That's the main thing. But as far as food is concerned, I was never choosy, and even today.
But it didn't bother you, huh?
No.
Where did you go for medical care?
I remember which I did. I went there to see a doctor. I remember...
Was it Dr. Smith?
No, the process. I remember Dr. Yes. Davis. Davis, Dr. Davis was my... As my doctor, I remember I was sick, I got the flu. And Dr. Davis called and said, for the first time in his experience to see the walking place, the walk of vanity places.
And how is that today?
I think, no, you know, I think one that tells the other. Because Pastor Kapitan will recommend you, one tells the other.
What was the first
organization? Not the same organization, but the other side, Labour's Army. It's still the same organization. Labour's Army.
Did you belong to some organization that was set up to do charity that can't be bought to?
Well, I tell you, this is, see, you're single, you can't observe these things, and you can't keep up with them. When you're a male, you have a family, that's a different thing. But as far as that, I used to go out and solicit. There was called contribution for charity funds, see, like Zionist funds, like the other school, you know, Zionist school and all that stuff. But single man, cannot, you know, a single man cannot be deep up to some time with the boy and parents and all that stuff.
So, your contribution
is like going to the plan? My contribution to NCSI. People knew me and it says, well, if you want you to give some money for the Lechmanim. You know what Lechmanim is? For the poor. For the poor. For more cooking, for muscles, for Europe, you know, for the poor, muscles. Naturally, I gave him a contribution. But the size, I didn't bust it, push it, didn't swing them and bump it. No. It wasn't a good fashion of handbags, but...
Thank you.